You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Minutes after 9 on a Tuesday, Mike McNamara with you, and joining me is the gunner, Michael Musselman. What is up? How are you today?
What's going on?
Nothing. You sound like you're in a good mood. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I'm just relaxed.
You are? Why are you relaxed?
Yeah.
Why are you just relaxed? You know, I have to tell you, the nerves, when you're like a happy guy, it's a little bit odd for me. So it's always interesting.
Yeah.
Always interesting. All right. So is there any special occasion?
A nice calm day today. Oh. No, just a nice calm day.
Wow. Any, so describe a calm day for you. What is that? What happens? What is it like? You get up?
Yeah, no news today, so that was good.
You know what? Can I give you a prediction?
Oh, no, what?
Yeah, no, you know what? I probably shouldn't even do it because it's not a good prediction. Woman in Minneapolis gets shot by a Somali Muslim police officer. He's in the passenger seat. She's outside the driver's side window. Okay. Happened Sunday night.
Yeah.
By Tuesday, there's been no press conference to say it was a negligent discharge as he unholstered his weapon and attempted to get out of the vehicle. Okay. Which would take us how many minutes to discern that, Mike?
Oh, minutes. This would be a no-brainer, man.
Right. Mike's...
Is that what they're saying? He was getting out of his...
No. Mike's the shift commander, right? I'm the police chief. You know, I get on the phone and I yell, you know, no, we're pros. We've done this before. Like in Iraq. So you have, you know, that's the cool part of doing this with guys you have confidence in. You call up and you say, hey, what's going on? And Mike says, I don't know. I'm on the way. Mike shows up. It takes him 5 to 10 minutes, maybe, to figure out essentially what the fuck happened. Okay? He picks up the phone. He calls me. I call the mayor and say, you know, hey, there was an actual discharge. I can have a statement for you within the hour. You know, blah, 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 blah. We can appear tomorrow. None of that's happened. So if that didn't happen, what did happen? What did happen? And I'll tell you why, Mike... My black blood has been tingling. She rolled out there in a nightgown or some kind of pajamas. And my fear is that he was offended. And it's hard for me.
No. And then he shot her because he was offended?
She called 911 because she heard what she thought was a sexual assault in the alley behind her home. The police car pulls in to I guess the alley, at the entrance of the alley. She goes out to meet him in her pajamas with her cell phone.
Right.
He shoots across his partner. She's shot in the abdomen and killed.
Yeah, I mean, so cops ride with their guns holstered. You know, so I don't get how does he get his gun out of his holster, put his finger on the trigger, points it in your direction, and pulls the trigger. And I hate using the word accidental discharge because it's never an accident.
Right.
I mean, the gun doesn't just go off.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's negligence on criminal negligence, you know, at this point. And the longer they sit on this,
what does that tell you? What does that tell you, the longer they sit on this?
Yeah, because then no matter what they come out, even if they come out and say whatever, and it's, you know, justifiable, whatever, they're going to question and say, well, why did it take you so long to figure this one out?
Okay, so what would be a rational explanation of why it's taking so long? Either one,
they think that they're minimizing damage.
Either one, they're stupid. Okay, they just went through the last year watching the St. Paul Police Department deal with a similar incident. It was just it was just adjudicated in court. Police officers found innocent last month, and a settlement was reached with his mother. Blah 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 blah. And so is it better to hold on to the truth? And especially if it's an accident, if he's getting out of the car, and he killed him by mistake. Is there any reason to sit on that? No, we both know. You get that out there. So the fact that they're sitting on this is, to me, indicative that, and again, I hope I'm wrong, but my spidey sense tells me that if it was something simple and an explanation that they could take to the citizens of that city, given what's gone on there in the last year, they would have done so by now. And I also want to publicly take the time to backhand Black Lives Matter. Okay. Because here's a black cop, right? Okay, he's Somali, but he's still black, right? Right? So he could be victimized by the police. Not a word from them about, hey, another police incident. We're concerned. She's white. We don't care, right? We're concerned about the level of training of the police around the country. No.
No, that doesn't sell, man.
No, doesn't. Acting like an adult and giving a shit about the problem, not in their playbook, man. So...
Yeah, that's why those organizations are just
they suck. They suck. They're awful, and they're not. And really, what they're not concerned about is they're not concerned about solving the problem. It's just let's just throw dirt up in the air, and let's incite other idiots to go kill cops. So, anyway, Mike, I probably shouldn't be telling you about the news because you're a happy man, and I can feel I can feel my blood. Tingling. So anyway, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's like, Mac, you're just too jaded, man. Your head goes someplace, but I know how to deal with the crisis. Okay. Cause I've dealt with a few in my life and I know how to give bad news to people cause I made a living at it. Right.
Bad news does not get better with time. Boys.
No, you spit it out in one breath. You don't breathe in the middle of it. You say it with, I'll never forget. We had a tank. Mike was there. We had a tank flip over at night, upside down in a canal, and four Marines drown inside of it. And, a good friend of both of ours, Larry Nicholson, was the regimental commander. And I had to wake him up and I didn't have a whole lot of information, and so I called his room, and because I'm an expert at bad news, I said, sir, we have a tank upside down in a canal. There's four crew members inside of it. We believe all of them are dead, and it's by O.P. Omar up Route Chicago. That's all I know right now. And with that, he screamed into the phone. And he said, repeat what you just said one more time. And I repeated it. And he said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And he threw his shit on and he came down. And, there was nothing you could do. You know, bad news. But then you tell the truth. You tell the truth at every step. And so no statement yet from the Minneapolis St. Paul Police Department or the Minneapolis Police Department. And it's just lousy. So. Anyway, bad news. Any other lessons? Hey, you know, I'll tell you what. I was talking to a Vietnam guy Sunday night, called me,
mm-hmm.
and he said, hey, do you know anything about My Lai? I said, no, not really, not very much. I mean, I know of it. And so it's one of those things, and I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but I have these little episodes where it gets brought to my attention that I don't know anything about something significant, like Martin Luther King. It happened to me once. Like, I don't know anything about him. I need to read about him. Abraham Lincoln. Never read a book about Lincoln. And Lincoln's one of the greatest Americans of all time. So, I mean, I write these things down. And so when he did that, I had the same kind of epiphany in that, you know what? I should probably find out about that. And so yesterday I was watching video after video after video about My Lai Mai. It blew my vacuum tube. So today's show I did about it. Part of tomorrow's show will be about it, and I want to bring Marines on that were in Vietnam at the time. But Mike, it's you're listening to this, and you just, it's like you can't believe what you're hearing. And then, in the middle, I mean, they kill over 500 people, and they rape women. I mean, and it was like when you hear them talk about raping, it's like something they did. When you move through on a patrol, when you move through a village, for somebody to rape a woman and other guys either to watch or kind of walk by and laugh, it's just something that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And you just listen to it and you look at them as they get older. So it's so there's a series of interviews that are done. The event happens in 68. There's interviews in 70, and they are all still kind of spouting the party line, like, yeah, we were ordered to do it, blah, 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 blah. And then there's another series of interviews that are done 10, 15 years later, and they're completely different guys. And you can tell they're fucked up because they can't get away from it. And so it's really interesting for two reasons. One is the mental health part of it, and I keep quoting Maximus in Gladiator. What we do in life echoes in eternity. You can't run from it. And the other part is the other part is keeping your honor clean. That there's a reason as leaders that you need to be a good guy because you'll live with it forever. And these guys are just, they're just shit. And it's real interesting. And they talk about God at various points in their lives punishing them for what they did in My Lai. And it's really amazing. And then it gets reported. There's a helicopter pilot that lands in the middle of it and puts his – imagine this, Mike. Warrant officer, I want to say he's 21 or 22. He sees it, and he can't figure out what's going on. And he's flying around in one of those Kiowa helicopters, those little ones, right? Zooming around. And he's got two door gunners, and they're looking, and they know they're not taking any incoming. And yet they see they're seeing all these bodies and like, what's going on? And then they start seeing it. And so he sees a bunch of civilians that are in a bunker and he sees soldiers moving in that direction and he lands his Kiowa between the two and he gets out and talks to the lieutenant. He goes, hey, how do I get those civilians out of the bunker? And the lieutenant says, with a hand grenade? And he looks at him and he said he was furious. He said, I'm going to take care of those civilians. You're not going to do anything to him. And he said, the lieutenant just looked at him. And I don't know if it was Callie or not. And he walks back to the aircraft, and the two door gunners are out of the aircraft, with their machine guns. And he says, I'm going to go get those people. If they shoot at me, he said, kill them. And then they ask, in the interview, they ask one of the door gunners, how old are you? He said, I was 18. And you're just sitting there watching it going, holy shit, man. You got to be kidding me. So he gets these dozen people out of this bunker. He calls another Huey gunship in, and the guy says, I need a favor. And the guy says, what? And he says, I need you to land. I need you to evacuate 12 people. He goes, what are you talking about? That's not my mission. That's not what I do. He goes, hey, man, there's bad stuff going on down here. I need your help. Guy lands, they load him, they fly him out, and then he goes back and reports it, and they don't do anything with it. They cover it up. The message that goes out is, we killed 123 VC in My Lai today. It was a great operation.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's just so icky, 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 and the guy who does that goes to become the superintendent of West Point, right? He's destined to become a four-star general. And it's like, how did they get to this point of dope smoking, bead wearing, raping? And it's just, I mean, honestly, it's fascinating to listen to them and think, Good God, man. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was, well, these guys had been in Vietnam for a while, and they'd been fighting and getting their ass kicked, and they were pissed. They were brand new. They had had,
yeah.
They'd lost guys to IEDs, to mines, and they had lost guys to snipers, but they'd never been in a big fight yet. This was the first time, and they got told that they were going to be in a big fight, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, it's really amazing. I don't know if you ever studied Milai or read anything about it, but, it's absolutely, like, not amazing. It blows your vacuum tubes just to listen to it and watch the video.
No, I don't know if I ever read a book. I mean, I knew whatever, you know, the basic stuff about it, but.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm the same way. And now as I watch it, it's so powerful. It's like, hey, skip the class on Loveland warfare. Just show them this. Because video for young people is way more powerful than some jackass captain standing up there, or the SJA standing up there talking about the law of land warfare. Watch this.
Right.
Watch these guys. Watch what they did. Watch their statements. Watch how they disintegrated. If you want to know why you need to be a leader, why you need to keep your honor clean, watch this. Watch this. And you show interviews, and then the helicopter pilot, they ostracized him. He'd walk in the chow hall, right, and over in the officer side, everybody gets up and leaves. Sent him on missions off by himself to try to, and he said, you know, no doubt in my mind, and they wanted me to get killed. They took this company, Charlie Company, and they stuck him out in the bush for, I want to say, 45 days. They stuck him up on a mountaintop and they left him there. Didn't bring him back after they heard about it. It's just crazy shit. So anyway, so I was watching that, and then I wish somebody would have showed it to me, because it's so powerful and it's such an incredible lesson on why you have to keep your honor clean. And so anyway, I use still the Commandant's little tagline of keeping your honor clean. So anyway, all right. So let's talk about something else, a little bit more pleasant. So you can see where I am today. I'm not in happy land.
No,
like
I'm
you.
In a good mood.
You know what? I actually am in a good mood. I don't know why I should be. I've taken to getting up a little bit earlier and doing a little bit of PT before I start doing my prep stuff in the morning. And I like that. Do you still PT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I PT different. I don't run as much.
Cause I gave up running.
I hate running.
Running just tore me up.
But I take Jack out with me, and we go for about 2 miles before I start, and then do kind of like a daily 7. And then, like, later on today, I'll lift a little bit, and then we'll go maybe for another 2 or 3 miles. And I just, it's kind of interesting, because I don't know about you, but I think it really helps my brain a lot. it helps me, I think, wake up in the morning more energized. And I also think it helps me be happier, kind of in all the physical, the physiological benefits of exercise. I think, so anyway, what do you do now? Yeah. Do you do old man PT now? What do you do?
No, I still ride the bike. I try and swim still. And then, I lift a little bit of weights, and that's about it.
No, that's swimming is one of the great ones, man. And then riding a bike, good for the joints. So
yeah,
no, it's no. And if you want to, you know, guys who've been physically active, I think you got to find different things that excite you. And when you say ride the bike, do you mean around the neighborhood, or do you have a stationary bike?
No, at the gym. Yeah, at the gym. Oh. It's too freaking hot right now to ride the bike outside.
Well, at the gym. You go to the gym? You hang out with the boys?
No, during the day, the gym is mostly women at the gym.
Whoa. Hey, do they know you from, like, hey, that's the gun guy?
No, there's a few people in there that you know, it depends on whatever day I see him, and, you know, I know him from town somewhere.
All right. Email question. Hey, Mac, I'd like to hear the Gunner talk about radishes some more. I enjoyed the conversation yesterday.
Can't believe you guys don't like radishes.
Who? No, I don't know anybody who likes a radish. Except like,
even with
weird
Mexican
people.
Food, if you have sliced radishes, you know, on the side, throw a couple radishes in a taco or, you know, something like that. It just, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like eating them in between, you know, like, you're done with the taco, you eat a couple slices of radish.
You were that kid? Give it to Mikey, he'll eat everything?
No, I didn't eat. I mean, I don't mind. I'm trying to think if there's, like, one thing I don't like. I like Brussels sprouts.
That's something.
Don't like those.
Yeah, most people don't like those. You know what? I
love
don't,
cabbage.
I don't know that I... Cabbage. I don't... cabbage, all right. I get, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, depends on who prepares it. You know, you can have, you know, you can have some people that, like you talked about your mom cooking, right? Your mom does Brussels sprouts. You'd be like anti-Brussels sprouts for the rest of your life, right?
Shit. If we're talking about my mom, I'd be anti-toast.
Exactly.
She doesn't even cook toast.
Your grandma does Brussels sprouts, and you're like converted, right?
Yeah, and I like Brussels sprouts a certain way. So I don't like them like...
How?
The normal. What you do is you steam them a little bit, and then you cut them in half, and then you put them into a pan with, like, I like it with bacon grease, and then you fry them up so they're just a little bit crunchy, and then you top them off with this balsamic reduction.
Ooh.
And you kind of mix them with that, and they're real, man, you just can't get enough of them.
Whoa, balsamic reduction. The, I've never been a Brussels sprouts guy. So I would have to go a ways to become a Brussels sprout.
Dude, if you ate these, the kind that I'm describing, you wouldn't put them down.
I believe you. I tend to believe you in matters of culinary science.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. The, what about, give me another vegetable and a concoction.
Well, I mean, like I said, the cabbage is my favorite.
How prepared?
Every way, man. I like it raw. I like it steamed. I like it pickled like sauerkraut. I like it fermented like kimchi. I love German red cabbage. Oh.
I don't like the way the Germans prepare it, though. It's kind of like, they do like a vinegar thing.
Yeah, I love vinegar.
Never been a fan of that. I when I was at Fort Knox, because they have, it's kind of interesting, because there's so many, there's a link to Germany from the armor community that goes post-World War II and all that. Around, you know, like army posts there, you'll find like German restaurants. And and I went to one, and it was awful, man. It was awful. I was like, why did you bring me here?
You know, to the cabbage, though, I mean, cabbage, people don't know. Cabbage is one of those vegetables that everything about it is good. I mean, you know, people don't know that cabbage has a very large amount of vitamin C. And then it's actually has some more vitamin C than oranges do.
Cabbage. Come on.
Read it, Mac.
All right, I'll have to check it out. That's a big statement.
Yeah.
That's a big statement.
It is.
Cabbage has more vitamin C than oranges.
Yeah. What does it say?
I'm looking it up right now. Hold on. Cabbage has more C than oranges. Foods with more vitamin C than oranges. A cup of chopped red bell peppers contains nearly three times more vitamin C than
bell peppers.
Orange.
I love bell peppers.
Bell peppers, which promotes eye health.
Yeah.
Which fruit, which foods are high in vitamin C? 9 foods with more vitamin C than an orange. All right, here we go. Let's see. Strawberries. Pineapple. Something I don't know. Kohlrabi. Never heard of it. The mango.
Yeah, never heard of it. Yeah.
Brussels sprouts have more vitamin C. You didn't know that, did you? Or else you would have thrown that out
there.
Well,
Brussels sprout is a cabbage, man.
Oh, here we go. Okay. No, it's not. It's a Brussels sprout. Cabbage is cabbage. Kiwi.
Oh, for God.
Papaya. Bell peppers. Wow. Broccoli. I like broccoli.
I love broccoli.
No mention of cabbage, Mike.
Well, Brussels sprouts is cabbage.
Stop it. Brussels sprouts is Brussels sprouts. We're not talking about that. We're talking about cabbage proper, not listed on the list. So you might want to send me a link. I'll give you, you know, look, I'll give you another, you know, it's okay. I'll give you a Brussels sprouts, but how about this? 20 foods that burn fat quickly. It's on the same page. Okay, these are ways to slim your body, Mike. In case you want to slim up.
Oh, you know what else? I like beet too.
you're just saying this stuff. How many ridiculous pickled things can I say before I make Max snap on a day that he's not really doing too good?
Pickled beets, Mac.
Okay, it depends how they're pickled. I'll give it to you. Almonds. One way to reduce your figure. Popcorn. No butter, no salt. Okay?
Yeah.
Next, avocados. Love avocados.
Love avocados.
Yeah, you can't. Come on, man. Avocados are the best. The,
I'm looking for, I know, I guess I ate them all. I had a jar of pickled beets in here. Good to go.
You looking in your fridge? I've got a gun question. Yeah. I've got a gun question for you, too, so don't let me forget. Have you heard from Montana Man? Has Montana Man got over the flu? That's another email I just got. Hey, how's Montana Man in that flu?
He's okay.
He's okay. He's struggling with the... I got the flu up in here in Montana. I got the Maker's Mark flu. Bananas?
Yeah.
Bananas? Help you reduce your weight. I hate bananas. My sister made a banana.
Really? I love bananas.
Now, when I was a kid, she made a banana and mayonnaise sandwich for me, and I took 2 bites and I threw up. Yeah, I threw up. And I like banana bread. The straight up banana, not so much. Apples. Apples will help you slim down. If you're chubby, this will help you out. Okay. Green tea. Tastes like shit, but it fights inflammation. It burns fat, increases your overall energy level.
Yeah, good antioxidant, too.
All right, whatever that means. Not really sure. Oatmeal. Are you an oatmeal guy? You're not an oatmeal guy.
Yes, I am.
Never seen you eat oatmeal in my life. I'll tell you, you want to know what, you want to know what company should sponsor All Marine Radio?
What?
Stand
what company?
By. What company? 5-hour energy drink.
Well, we've talked about that.
Mike, where did you get all those 5-hour energies?
They would be sent to me.
By?
Wife would go to Costco and then get a big box of them and then send them to me.
Oh, I thought somebody was sending them carrots and cauliflower are good slim down foods as well. There's a trend here. Vegetables, hello. Artichokes.
Yeah.
Come on, man. There's no,
you like artichokes?
No, there's no. I haven't seen Pepsi in here yet. Eggs are a good slim down food.
Pepsi.
Full of protein. Not even Greek yogurt. Come on, I'm gonna vomit.
I like Greek yogurt.
You don't listen to you. Black beans. You love. Mike
yes,
loves
I
black
love
beans.
Black beans.
Loves him some black beans. Chia seeds.
Smoky black beans.
What? What kind of black beans?
Smoky black beans.
The how's Buck?
Yeah.
How's Buck?
Abuckus, Texas. Flaxseed. I have a bag of flaxseed. I add flaxseed to everything.
Mike, coconut oil. And here you're walking around with a gallbladder that's all jacked up.
Oh, raisins. Look at it in my pantry. Raisins I got. Golden raisins.
Golden. Collard greens. You call
yeah,
it, you call
it depends
green?
On how they're prepared. I like collard greens.
Blueberries.
Love blueberries.
Love blueberries. Are you a fruit, you're a fruit guy, right?
Yeah.
Once again, broccoli.
I have my oatmeal, Mac, is maple brown sugar with flaxseed.
Yeah, mine is just like regular with flaxseed, and then I throw my own fruit in it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I have still granola. I have granola right next to it. Here's granola. You can hear it.
And then the last get your slim on is cabbage. Contains antioxidants, vitamins.
Yeah, antioxidants. Yeah.
Vitamin C with the low calorie count. Try filling up on this veggie, and you will help suppress your diet. Greens are always a good move.
Yeah. Buck said steak.
Hey, Buck. Yeah. Buck, steak is not a slim down food. It's a fat up food. Okay?
If you have a lean steak.
Yeah, that's not working, man. Ohio man, cabbage and Brussels sprouts are great. Don't forget broccoli and asparagus. Yeah, I like asparagus. The only thing about asparagus is it like jacks your urine up. You're like, oh man, what does that smell? Oh, that's right. We have broccoli. Yeah. All right. Let me take a quick break. I got to play my Super 5 fun spot, and we'll be right back. The Gunner with a gun question coming up next on a Tuesday edition. A therapy edition for Mac on All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
My name is Juan Ferrer.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. One of the few songs I know that starts with a gunshot.
Yeah.
Michael Musselman going through his food going through his food cupboards right now. Did you find anything good in there,
yeah,
man? Anything good?
Doritos.
That's not a slim down food, man. That's a fat up food, man. Doritos with guacamole, with sour cream, salsa. How do you do it?
Salsa. Yeah.
Salsa.
Doritos are good for you.
If my daughters roll over and I don't have some of that food, they get belligerent. They're like, what's up with you? What's wrong? Like, nothing. Why? You don't need that. It's not good for you. They're like, okay, Dad, we need to talk to you. Okay, stop it. So my daughters, yeah, then they start like throwing stuff around the place. And then we have to put them
in. If you put Doritos,
yeah,
you know what you do? You make a sandwich. What kind of sandwich you like? Turkey and cheese?
Turkey, yeah. Turkey Swiss, a little guacamole.
Put a layer of Doritos on top of it. It makes a sandwich 10 times better.
Inside the bread?
Yeah, like bread, turkey, cheese, and then Doritos on top of that, and then bread.
You know what? I had a friend in college who did that, and I thought it was ridiculous. And
yeah, I love it. Love it.
When did you start doing that as a kid with potato chips and stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what he would do. He would do it like peanut butter and jelly sandwich. All of a sudden, he'd open up. He'd be putting potato chips on it. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, nothing, man. I'm making a sandwich. Like, potato chips inside the bread?
Yeah, I would do that with I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with bananas.
I...
And then Goober Grape. Goober Grape was my favorite peanut butter. Remember that?
No.
Goober Grape?
No, my mom bought Jif, man. Here's my mom's peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Peanut butter on one side, butter on the other side, and jam, jelly, whatever you put in the middle. Yeah.
Butter.
Try it. I'm just telling you, don't sneer at it. Just try it. Is it ever a bad idea to use butter? Butter and garlic are like two of the great inventions in the world. And the more of
I use butter for a lot.
Yeah. And so it's a little bit creamier, kind of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which my mom thought was better. Less of that. And if you use it on butter on one side, it's not as heavy in peanut butter, and the sandwich can last till lunchtime when you take it to school without the jelly soaking into the bread. So my mom, like, she had game when it came to lunch.
That's magic, yeah.
Yeah, no, she was serious about it. She was like a good mom. I used to take roast beef sandwiches, and I would not eat them. She would make them. I wouldn't say a word.
Yeah.
And I'd bring them home from school and throw them in my closet. Yeah. My dad found
them. Hey, ask me what my favorite sandwich is.
Mike, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, that's easy, man.
What?
It's actually, I've only found it in one place. If you go into the Luxor Casino in Vegas, to the left when you enter the casino, right when you enter the casino, stay to the left. Go past all the machines. In the back left corner, there's a little deli. And back there, they have a pastrami and corned beef on marbled rye sandwich that they put together with the coleslaw. It is the best sandwich you've ever had.
And this is the
corned beef and pastrami.
The Luxor in Vegas?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Then you went, so you're drunk, you stumble into the Luxor, you're looking for something to eat, you eat this thing, and you start throwing a fit in public, yes?
Well, I wouldn't be drunk, but, so we'd come into Vegas, right?
Right.
We'd drive in or whatever, fly in as soon as we got the car, and we would never stay at the Luxor because I didn't like the hotel. We usually stay at the MGM, and,
big timer.
Coming in, Luxor is right there, so we'd pull in, I'd park in the temporary spot, I'd run in, I'd get a sandwich to go, get back into the car, and then get to the hotel, check in, and have lunch.
So how long had you been doing this?
I used to do it every time I go to Vegas.
Oh, so this is not like something you just discovered. You've known this for a while.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while.
Well, are you a Vegas guy? Do you like Vegas?
I hate Vegas.
Yeah, you don't seem like you don't seem like a Vegas guy to me. I'm not a Vegas guy. I mean, I go there.
No, I hate
my friends are there.
I hate giving money away like that.
Yeah,
I want something
what?
In return.
My mom, she dogged me about that when the first time I went up to Reno. No, I didn't even get to Reno. It was Tahoe. I saw America on a date with Judy Whitehall. She was 21. I was 19. We went up to see America, Horse with No Name, right? And afterwards, we played a little roulette, and then we drive home that night. And I was working, going to junior college. And so it's hilarious. In the kitchen the next morning, she said, "How was the concert?" I said, "Oh, it was good. It was good." She said, "You had fun?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Did you gamble?" I said, "A little bit after the concert." And she said, "How was that?" And I said, She said, "That's a beautiful hotel, isn't it?" And they just built a new MGM up there. And I said, "Yeah, it's awesome, Mom. It's like unbelievable awesome." She's like, "Where do you think they get the money to build something like that?" I'm like, "I don't know." She's like, "From suckers like you." I said, "What?" "We're in the kitchen."
"Yeah."
"What?"
"Yeah."
She's like, "It's a loser's game, okay? It's rigged to be a loser's game. And only fools do it. So you ought to stop." And you know what? Honestly, that cured me. But, you know, we were playing roulette. And I just remember I was bagging groceries at the time. And I was in a union in Northern California. And I probably in 1978, I was making like $6.50 an hour. I mean, that was like probably 2.5 times minimum wage. I was crushing.
In what year?
1978.
Oh, I just said 1958.
I was one, okay? I was one. So anyway, my mom, she cured me of that. That guy reaches across with that little stick at the roulette table and pulls like a day and a half worth of bagging groceries and listening to women bitch about their lives towards him. And I was like, "What just happened? Like, that little weirdo couldn't take that money from me on my worst day, and I just gave it away. That's like stupid."
Yeah.
So.
And you can get nothing in return.
Free drinks.
Yeah, watered down drink.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Keep that whiskey, yeah.
Cheap drinks, that's what I said. So, my mom, Corporal Punishment Kathleen, man, she was death in the kitchen, and then she ruled it with an iron hand. Gambling, didn't like it, not one bit.
No.
You just thought it was stupid on your own?
Yeah, I just thought it was stupid on my own.
Yeah.
And I was the guy. Because I know you did this, and I was the guy that used to make everybody feel bad in the Marine Corps for doing, like, the football pools. Because, you know, they would, at work, they'd hand these stuff up. You know, "Oh, you want to get in football?" "No." And then they'd be like, "Oh, come on." And I'd say, "No, I don't. Leave me alone. You don't like football?" "Yeah, I do. But I don't like betting on it." And I'm like, "Well," I said, "you know, and plus, you using the copy machine in order to make those copies and using the government computer to make the pool, that's illegal." "Oh, man, why do you got to be that way?" You know, well,
why you gotta be that
you're breaking a rule. You broke a rule, man. You can't use the computer or the printer for your own personal gain like that.
You know what?
Especially for gambling.
I'll tell you this. I never did that stuff. That may surprise
you. But you knew people did it, though.
Oh, but you know what? If you're a working guy, somebody hands you one of these things, it's like, "I don't have the time to do this. Get it out of here." I like to work. I was all work. Like, and the other thing was, who is all going to be in this pool? Right? Are there enlisted Marines in the pool?
Yeah, then that's breaking the rule too.
Can't be in it. So you know what? Take this and go away. oh, why you got to be like that? Because that stuff's not good. I've never been a fan of. I've never been a fan of that. Yeah, that may surprise people, but betting on sports, never really a fan of it. And you know what? But I'll tell you what though. It's interesting because, like in North Dakota, when I lived there, the bars, they have gambling in all the bars. You can play pull tabs. And they support charitable gaming, so the charities in North Dakota run gaming. So Special Olympics has a bar that they do the gambling and the blackjack and the gambling that they allow. And so people say, come on, let's go. I'm like, I don't like that stuff. Like, oh, it's for a good cause. I'm like, no, it's not. And, like, wow. And you don't drink either? Like, no, I don't drink very much. I'll go have one.
No, I don't drink.
I moved to North Dakota. I'm the director of sports for Special Olympics in the state. And we go to Jamestown, North Dakota for a soccer tournament. And so we're in the bar and everybody else, that's working on the staff are female. And so, but. I would tell you this. I don't know how it is in the Twin Cities, but I can tell you how it is in Northwest Minnesota. All right? The girls that grow up there, they can drink beer. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Like men. Okay? None of this, like, two fingers on the bottle, kind of sipping it, you know, foo-foo, girly style. Yeah, they don't roll like that.
No, they're held two long necks in one hand.
So there's a football game on. We're kind of chit-chatting, and they order a beer, and I have a beer, and it's sitting there. So now they order a second one, and they're like, do you want another one? And I said, no, I'm good. And so they get a second one, and now my beer's got, like, I've drank about a third of it. I'm just socially sipping it. And so they're getting ready to order a third one, and one of them looks at my beer, and they look at me, and they're like, what's up, pussy boy? I said, what?
Yeah.
I'm like,
don't get in a drinking contest with the girls up there, man, in the north.
No. I'm like, okay, look, I don't accept abuse for the way I drink, okay? So don't start on me, because this will get ugly in a hurry. I don't, just like, I had, like, these fat guys made fun of me because I didn't eat very much. Like, oh, Mac had a piece of pizza. Like, and they're like, so they were laughing at me, like, in front of people. And I just looked, I said, oh, really? Do you fat asses don't think I'll start making fun of you because you're fat? And they're like, whoa, why are you using the F word? You're like, what's up with that? I'm like, oh, you're, like, laughing at me because I had a piece of pizza and I was full? They're like, well, come on, guy. I'm like, well, don't make fun of me. I don't like to be made fun of. Okay, fatso?
Yeah.
Okay, fatso, brother.
Hey, what was
fatso?
The gun question? Because I know we're running out of time.
Mac, I've got a rifle and I have some kind of damage that I can see in the barrel about halfway down. I'm not sure how it got there, but I just noticed it after cleaning it and, after punching the barrel, I looked down as I held it up towards the light and I saw what I thought was some residue in there. As I got a better light out, thank God for LED flashlights, I noticed that it looks like pock marks in the side of the barrel. Is there any way that I can repair it?
Mike? No. There's no way. Yeah, and if you see erosion like that in a barrel, it's done. And depending on what kind of gun it is, if it's a bolt-action gun you can get a new barrel for it. If you like the gun, and depending on what you paid for it, I mean, there's no reason to buy a $400 barrel if you just bought a $400 gun. Just go get another $400 gun. But it's done. Yeah, if you see any kind of pitting or that kind of stuff in the barrels, and let me tell you something, Mac, there's a really good iPhone app. You can actually buy these things, and they're like $29.
What?
And they're lenses. On little cords, little fiber optic cables that you can plug into your iPhone, and they're, you know, a couple feet long, and you can use it for various things. What I like using mine for is I borescope my barrels. You know, so I turn my camera on, I plug this thing into the bottom, little jack, and then it turns into, now I can see what this lens sees, and I fish it down, and it's, you know, like 2.5 feet long, this cable, with the camera at the end, and it fits down in barrels. It can go down a 22 barrel, they're that small. And, push that thing down there real slow, and then you can look at your barrel, pistol barrels, rifle barrels, shotgun barrels. You know, and if you're a guy that has a lot of guns, it's a very inexpensive way just to see if it's staying clean, if there's damage to the lens and grooves, if there's pitting, if you get brass. Sometimes cheap ammo, you'll get a brass buildup down the barrel, you know, so depends on what you're doing. And I always tell people, like I said, is Hops Number 9 is the solvent that I use. And so
wait a minute. It's a camera on a wire?
Yeah.
And you just slide it down?
You go to Walmart. Walmart has them.
And what's it called? What's it called?
They're called... Look up, like, snake cameras. That's it.
Snake camera.
USB snake camera. It's a wireless, and they're called wireless endoscopes or whatever, but Walmart has them, and you know, like the real nice one, the wireless one is like $26.
Snake camera, it's called snake camera for iPhone.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You see them?
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun. Shit, you can use them for more than a gun. I like looking, like little Mickey, little hard places to see you can't see. Fish it down there.
Yeah,
like, what the hell's down there?
It looks like it's got a light, an LED light that might be, I don't know, a half inch long. And then on it is just one of those moldable kind of coil cord things. And then it's got a Wi-Fi unit at the end of it that probably needs a battery. And then, you download the app and, you're in business, man. Scoping things.
Yeah. Make sure you get the one, though. If you got an Android phone, make sure you get the one that's for an Android. Get the one for an iPhone.
Got it. You can get it at Walmart.
Yeah, they're freaking great, man. I like using it for everything.
No kidding. It's awesome. And but again, bottom line, that structural damage to a barrel, don't shoot that anymore, yes?
No, don't shoot it. What if it's long enough that you can swallow it? I can do my own endoscope into my stomach.
I was going to ask that. You could do your own colonoscopy?
No, I wouldn't do that, man. That would be...
Well, you could buy a separate one and use it for the colonoscopy.
No, I still wouldn't. No.
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 No?
No, that's not... Right. No, I did my own endoscope. That'd be kind of cool. I wonder if that'd work. It'd probably reach.
What's an endoscope?
Sanitize it.
What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
No, I mean, you go down your throat, look at your stomach. You know, so you look at your trachea or your esophagus.
Yeah. Well, that, you'd probably.
It probably says somewhere on the, you know, don't use this for that, so.
You know.
Somewhere.
You
on
know.
This product,
you know on this product there's somewhere there is.
Not for ingestion.
Not for ingestion into the human body. Yeah,
I don't
know. No, but all those places, like,
not to do that.
All those places, like, you know how you're trying to get something in a car seat, you're trying to get your hand in there, you just slide the camera in. Is it even in there? Oh, no. It's
yeah, this thing's that small, man. I mean, you can get it anywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, bud, what are you doing the rest of the day?
Shit, I got to put up closet rods. So, you know, you got the wooden dowel, like the big wooden closet rod thing, you know, to hang the hangers on.
Right.
So we're going to this really nice brushed nickel. It's metal.
Ooh, heavy duty, man.
Yeah.
You can hang your Carhartt stuff on that stuff.
Shit, my walk-in closet, Mac, has got 11. I got to replace 11 poles, and just in the walk-in closet. 11, Mac. 11 freaking
poles? Like,
poles.
I don't understand.
Well, I showed you my walk-in closet, didn't I?
On one of your live adventures, I think there's a door in the back of it. You came through it to put your wife on TV. Yeah.
So the walk-in closet.
I didn't get a good look at it.
I'll send you a picture, and that way you can kind of see this thing, because the thing has, I'm going in there right now. It has one, two, three, four pull downs. So, you know, they're way up high, so you grab their thing, and they're on a swivel, so you can pull them down to your height.
Right.
And get stuff down. And then I got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11 poles I got to replace. And the smallest one is 38 inches. So it's going to be, I got to take down the wood. I got to take the clothes off the rack, take the wood ones off.
That's too much work.
Because when you take the wooden ones off, you got to cover up paint.
Right.
And put the metal ones on and then measure them and level them. Then cut them because they came in 12-foot length, so I got to cut them. So, yeah, that's my project for today.
All right. Quick question for you before you go.
Yeah.
Matt, quick question for you and the gunner, since you brought up Mi Lai. Is that the worst military...
No.
...atrocity in U.S. military history?
No.
What is?
Documented?
Well...
There was a lot of American... We did a lot of atrocities in World War II that just... We won. So
we buried them?
Well, you know, we shot German prisoners of war in World War One or World War II. I'm sure we did it in World War One. Atrocities, nothing compares to what was done to, you know, like if you look at the Japanese in World War II or the Germans, you know, concentration camps, you know, right. Nothing compares to that stuff.
No, I agree with you. I'm just talking about in terms of U.S. military history document.
How many people? 130? 130 people died in Mi Lai?
No, over 500.
Okay. If you look at, who was the division in World War II that fought in the Harkin Forest? The bloody...
I can't remember the name of it.
It was like a Pennsylvania. It was northern... They got wiped out. And so they went back in there, the Americans did, and then whatever Germans they had, they took their anger out on them for what they did to the Americans. You know, but again, it doesn't... We won.
Right.
When you win a war...
You write the history.
You don't... Yeah, you get to write history. You don't... There's no... Nuremberg trials for the winners.
Yeah. Now another email says the firebombing of Dresden, the firebombing of Tokyo.
Oh,
you know
the firebombing Dresden. I have a book on that. That is horrible.
That's horrible.
No military target whatsoever. All we did was burn a city full of people, and I don't think they really realize how many people still. They have an estimate, you know, of how many people died. But again, the commander of the 8th Air Force, he never faced a general court martial over that one.
No, they said that, you know, but had we lost the war, they said he'd have been the first guy. He'd have been first up.
Oh, he would have been definitely the first dude.
Yeah, he'd have been the first up. But, you know, it's starting from Sherman, waging war on the population has been an American way of war. That we don't, that we're going to make it hurt. And when Sherman burning Atlanta is kind of a watershed, anyway. All right, sir, I will let you go.
Yeah.
I won't keep you. Anyway, we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Right,
we'll talk to you on Thursday, man. Have a good one.
Okay, we'll talk to her.
There you have it. From vegetables to guns to war crime. You know, that would be an interesting show. We'll continue our little keep our honor clean segment devoted to Mi Lai. And, we'll continue that tomorrow. And then, like I said, what I want to do is go ahead and get Marines that were in Vietnam and ask them about, you know, because one of the things that, you know, Hackworth says in his comments, you know, he talks about, you know, dope, beads, you know, jacking up your uniform, you know. What the hell was that like to try to be a leader in? I mean, God almighty. And then go to the field, and as you pass through a vill, they're raping women. You know, all right, Montana Man just chimed in. Old Man PT, is that those guys fast walking, swinging their arms real fast? You know, it could be. That would be an extreme form of old guy PT. It could be, I mean, so, well, let me ask, so, Montana Man, so, if you're doing, if you're not running distance anymore, and you're doing things like biking and swimming, is that old guy PT? Because you're trying to preserve your joints? So, inquiring minds want to know. So I just can't imagine the trying to lead in that environment, though, right? And, you know, the door's getting ready to come off, right? We go through villages. We're raping women. We're, you know, we're shooting animals, doing all the things. So you know what? I don't know the answer. You know, we'll get Nielsen on to talk about it if he saw this stuff. You know, Tom Drowdy's another guy we'll get on. We'll get Jarvis Lynch on. He was Jarvis Lynch, a major at the time. You know, one of the interesting things that got brought up that Hackworth brings up is he brings up Colin Powell's name. Was a part of the AmeriCal division. He was on the division staff, and supposedly he signed off on an investigation that never occurred. Interesting. Be curious to pull that little thread and see what comes out of that. Anyway, with that said, on a Tuesday, that's it. We're done. So you know what's happening tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This program repeats itself momentarily. If you missed the first part of it, don't touch that dial, whatever you do. Seriously, no shit. If you tuned in late, or you tuned in to hear the last hour of this, the first 2 hours are devoted to me live. And it's astounding. So in the first hour, you'll hear... David Hackworth. And what you'll hear Colonel Hackworth talking about is with a historian, what you'll hear is him talking about kind of the entirety of My Lai. The environment that the Army was in, Vietnam, all these different things. But, you know, I will just tell you that I think most of it's bullshit. I don't care what you get told. You get off those helicopters, you go into that village, the situation's changed. Those orders can't apply. And how in God's name do you start shooting little kids, old people? Yeah, the psychology of group stuff. So, we'll see you tomorrow. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, tell your friends about us. Not a bad way to spend your morning. Have a great Tuesday. All Marine Radio, out.